Has the news got you down? Not with this funny guy. You're listening to Lighten Up with Steve Miller.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. Guess what day it is? It's Monday, and it keeps coming back. And you know what that means? So does Lighten Up on Israel News Talk Radio. Hey, my name is Steve Miller from the Holy Land of Hadera, Israel. And please give it up for my lovely co-host, Miss Roya Mosinian.
Ooh, good morning or good evening, wherever you are.
It's good evening for me and good morning for
you. Good morning for me.
Actually, until we go to back, we're 6 hours difference until March 29th. And then we go back to 7 hours.
Oh, it's so confusing. So you know. I don't even understand it in this country. I can't keep track of other countries.
That's right. I don't understand. So today I am actually doing the show from in my bedroom. Can you see the camera, Roya?
I see. I see a different landscape behind you.
That's right. I'm laying in bed under the covers in my pajamas, babe.
You're doing a me. You're doing a Roya.
That's right. So first, before we start the show, let's say hello to our listeners. Of course, Roya, we have the United States of China. We have
always
Israel, Sweden, Canada, South Africa. Oh, and this is a new country, Cyprus.
Cyprus, welcome.
Where is Cyprus? Is that in Greece or something?
Close, I think.
Okay.
Somewhere in the Mediterranean.
Brazil. Oh, and Pakistan. Oh, they're coming after us. the Netherlands, hello, and of course, as usual, the country of Other.
Other, that's my favorite country.
Anyway, if our listeners don't know, so yesterday and today, it's Purim, everybody!
Yay, fun, fun, fun.
That's right, and Roya, do you know the story of Purim, right?
Refresh my memory. I do, and I know that it's like a fun holiday and costumes and candy and fun. I love it.
Okay, so first of all, that's Halloween in America. I'll tell you what Purim is, babe. If our listeners don't know, my co-host, Roya Mosinian, is half Iranian, and that's the story of Purim. Your people tried to kill my people, babe, and guess what?
Oh, no wonder I blocked it out.
Babe. You lost, babe. We celebrate. You're related to Haman, babe, and King Ahasuerus. They were Persian kings. Remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I came with you last year. That's right. I did learn this.
That's right. Because your ancestors tried to kill my ancestors, and you lost. So now we party and eat, and Haman got hung. Your great-great uncle.
My great great grandfather.
Oh, that's right. King Ahasuerus is related to our co-host, everybody.
Far, far away.
So this is not a good day for you, but it's a bad day for me. It's a bad day for you, but it's a great day for the Jews.
Well, I'll just celebrate with the Jews. How's that?
You side with us, babe. You're safe.
I side with you.
That's right. Our enemies still haven't learned. They still try to destroy us. You know, it's interesting. I found I was doing some Google searches, when you go on Google, it says, these are the most frequently asked questions. So, of course, because of the war, there's so many questions about Israel. So one of the questions was, you know, how much of Jews make up the world's population? Of course, there's someone who's interested in that, probably someone who wants to kill us. And
how many they need to know how many people they need to kill.
Exactly. We don't even make up as of 2023, the latest statistics were, and these were, of course, you know, people who identify as Jews. Now, not everyone who says I'm a Jew is really a halachically a Jew, which means to be a Jew. I know this is going to anger people, but it comes from the matriarch. Your mom has to be a Jew for you to be a Jew. It can't be like the father's Jewish and the mother's not. That means your children are not Jewish. So anyway, it said that there's 14 billion people in the world, and 0.9% are Jews. That's it. Not even a percent.
Boy, baby, that's it.
That's it. But the 14 billion other people, they're obsessed with us. They hate us.
You're a hardy people. You do not give up.
I just found that fascinating. I was just like, wow, we are less than 1% of the world's population, but yet there are you know, hundreds and thousands of marches every day of free Palestine.
Unbelievable, isn't it? I know they are. They're obsessed with you because, you're strong people, so they don't.
We're gonna get this party started. Okay.
Do you have any Purim stories?
So I went to a Purim party Friday night. Now, here's the you're supposed to do several mitzvahs during the Purim. You have to give charity to poor people. Two poor people. Then you have to give like a gift basket of food, like give someone a meal. And then you have to listen to the Megillah twice. Mm-hmm. One on Saturday night, that's when Purim started, and then yesterday you had to listen to it twice.
Nice.
So we went to a Purim party at someone's house. Now I kind of got the invitation all messed up. I thought it was at a Beit Knesset, which means a synagogue. Mm-hmm. But it was someone's home that we didn't know. And they were Americans, but they've been living in Israel for 40 years.
Wow.
And they lived in a beautiful home in a place called Pardes Chana. And but they were from San Francisco, real hippies, man. And so I said, "Do you have someone who's gonna read the Megillah?" He's like, I'm gonna read the Megillah. I'm like, "You are?" And there's certain qualifications. You have to read it from an actual scroll. You just can't read it out of a book, and you have to read it in Hebrew. And that's how you get, that's right. And you get the mitzvah counts. That's part of the responsibility of every Jew. This guy, he read it out of a pamphlet, and he read the Megillah, and he did it with puppets.
Typical San Francisco.
Yeah, he's such a liberal hippie. He's like, "Hey, man, I'm going to read the Megillah with him." He goes, "I've never done this before." And so he literally had puppets in his hand, and he's going through all the cast of characters. There's King Ahasuerus, there's Queen Esther, Vashti, and he's switching hands. He's sticking his hands up these horrible puppets. It's a train wreck. And then in between reading the Megillah out of a pamphlet with puppets, he's taking shots of alcohol.
No.
Even
the kids weren't amused by the puppets. What the heck?
Even the kids were like, "When is this going to end? This is horrible." And I just looked over to my girlfriend and I'm just like, "This does not count. We're not getting credit for the mitzvah, babe."
Right. Don't think we're checking this box off tonight.
Yeah. Puppets on Purim don't count.
Oh, gee whiz.
Yeah, it was really
typical
funny.
Typical hippie. Interesting.
Yeah, typical just liberal. Yeah, just like, "Hey, man, we're going to do what we want. We're going to do with puppets, man." Take shots
out of a pamphlet.
Yeah. I mean, he at least read it. He read it in Hebrew. But,
we'll give him that much.
The puppets were awful. They were like, what's the guy who made all the Sesame Street puppets? What's his name?
Hansen. Oh, Jim Hansen.
It was like Jim Hansen's had a brother who was on crack.
a third cousin on crack.
Yeah, it was like if Jim Hansen had a relative who also made puppets, but he was a crackhead. That's what the puppets looked like.
And he was born with no talent.
Right, and no talent.
That's great. Oh, I love it.
So that was fun.
Well, it sounds like fun.
Yeah.
You have good stories.
Yeah.
Good.
Anyway.
Nice.
So we'll go right to the first story.
Okay.
This is a great story. Now you're going to love this. This is very funny. And I found this last week. I wanted to share it, but I want to save it for you because you'll really really enjoy this story. It says here, a black couple rented to a Chinese American family when nobody would. Now they're donating $5 million to a black community. Okay. Here's the backstory. In 1939, there was a Chinese family that came to America. Guess what their last name was?
Kim Young.
No. June. Close. Their last name are the Dongs.
That's even better than Kim.
The Dongers, baby. In 1939, the Dongs moved to America in California. They found themselves unable to rent a house until they met Emma and Gus Thompson.
Ooh.
They were black entrepreneurial couple in town allowed the family to rent and eventually buy their property when nobody else would. Then this was in the 1930s. Okay.
Right.
Now, eventually, as the Dongs went through generation, and there's a picture of the Dongs in this newspaper. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of Dongs, baby.
There's a lot of Dongs. The Dongs procreate.
I've never seen so many Dongs in my life. Anyway, they decided to sell their home, and they sold their home for $5 million. And so they're donating it to a black college using the proceeds.
Boy, that's generous. Yeah.
And it says here, it may enable, they said, Mr. Dong, he's 86 years old, says, it may enable some kids to go and flourish in college that might not have been able to otherwise.
And then they can open laundromat. Laundry, dry cleaner.
We love George Jefferson. it said
that's
here,
mighty
Lloyd,
generous.
It said Lloyd Tong Jr., he's 81, said the Thompson gave their family a start with the land, and it's time for them to do the same. So now, basically, you know, I just don't understand.
No.
First of all, I want to know how in the 1930s, how a black family was able to buy a home.
yeah, that's more interesting than the Asian family.
That's right. But anyway, so whatever. They sold their home in 2023 for $5 million, and they're going to give the money to black people. Saying, thank you very much. We love black people.
I could see like maybe, you know, $500,000, but to give the whole thing away? I guess the other dongs must have been very sad.
Well,
no inheritance for you.
I would hate to grow up in that family. Can you imagine, like, if like their kids growing up generation after generation? You know, they're Americans, but your last name is Dong. And like, what if you're playing sports and you're playing football, and then the announcer is like, "Oh, tackled by a host of Dongs. That's gotta hurt."
Yeah, I might have to change my last name.
Yeah. Or, you know, when Mrs. Dong wanted to take the little Dongers for playmates,
right?
And then neighbors, the Dongs were very
Dongs
rambunctious.
Are coming.
They were very rambunctious kids. And neighbors were just like, you know what? I don't want the Dongs to come over, because when they get too excited, they just make a mess. Hi-oh!
take your Dongs and go home, please. Too many Dongs in this house.
That's enough of this story. Please move on, Stephen. Anyway, so that I wanted to share with you. I knew you would love
that story.
That's funny.
I like that. I have a question for you, Stephen.
Yes.
You know, somehow I always find stories about like Guinness Book of World Records. I don't know why. It must be something in my search. Okay. Anyway, how long do you think it would take you to put on 10 T-shirts? How many seconds or minutes or hours?
Hours? 2 minutes, probably.
2 minutes?
Maybe three? I don't know.
Yeah.
Why?
Ten T-shirts. Okay, so an Idaho man last week broke the Guinness World Record by putting on 10 T-shirts in 15.3 seconds.
This is a real thing?
Yeah. Yep. And if you look it up, it shows he has a picture of him with like T-shirts set up all around him in like a circle. And then he just puts them on. It only took him, 15.3 seconds.
This guy has weight.
He's
guy
got nothing to do.
He's
got
to get a job.
He needs to listen to Lighten Up. He needs something to do.
He needs to get a job like me.
He has broken. This is funny because you're right. You're totally right about him. You hit the nail on the head. He's broken more than 250 Guinness World Book records previously. So,
oh, come on.
This is what the guy, I guess basically this is his job. I hope he can make some money off of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. People are weird, aren't they?
They are weird.
So maybe he can meet your friends, your San Francisco friend in Israel, and help him with the Purim next year.
The puppet master.
He can help him switch out puppets real fast.
That's right. And stop him from drinking in between reading verses in the Megillah.
Doing shots. That's great.
Here's speaking of Asians. Here's a story. I'm on an Asian. I'm in an Asian kick because I had Chinese food last night. So.
And it's the Chinese New Year. Just happened like a month or so ago.
Oh, the Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
We missed it. We should have talked about that on the show.
What is it? The year of the rat?
Yeah, good question. I have no idea. I don't know.
Here's a good article. Here it says Cambodia's prime minister sounds a sour note on trucks and musical horns. Now you're probably wondering, what is this about, Stephen?
Right. What is
okay.
this?
So the Cambodian prime minister, Hun Manet, that's his name.
Hun Manet Dong.
No, he's not related to the Dongs. Oh, come on. The Dongs are Chinese. This guy's Cambodian. You know, you're very racist. You're a racist.
I'm getting my Asians confused, Stephen.
You're so racist. Anyway, it says the prime minister of Cambodia has ordered a ban on musical horns for your car. So apparently in Cambodia, they made horns for your car. So instead of going beep, beep, it plays beep, a musical beep. Horn.
Right.
So it says here, Hun, who took over as prime minister last year from his father. So you can tell, I'm sure it's a democratic country. He was duly elected. he said he called the Ministry of Public Works and Transportation and police across the country to immediately take action, Roya, against any vehicle whose normal horn, beep, beep, has been replaced by a tune playing one by ripping it out and restoring the standard honking type. So if they heard your car, which was playing a musical tune, probably to the Broadway show Cats.
Right.
That's illegal. The police would come and literally rip your horn out. And it says here, he said the measure has already been implemented by provincial authorities, but he wanted to announce it publicly to make sure it was enforced nationwide. He commented on his Facebook page. The Cambodian dictator has a Facebook page.
Oh my goodness.
And he
what
said
has the world come to.
He said that a recent social media post had shown inappropriate activity committed by some people, especially the youth and children, dancing on the roadside of the musical sounds from truck horns.
Oh, how could they?
That's right. So this go ahead.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Like I was going to say, like sometimes you ever see like on Instagram or social media, you see those like funny videos of people driving like carts like off the road. And like it's usually like Cambodia or somewhere.
Yeah, you
like,
send me those reels all the time.
I send them to you all the time. Right. And it's so funny because it's usually a lot of times you'll hear that honking noise and it's music. So I get it. This is like I don't know. For some reason, they do replace their horns with music.
Well, in Cambodia now, you have to have a regular horn, else you're going to judge. No music! No music here! And you know what this is, Roya? I was thinking about it. They are essentially banning dancing. This is the
Asian like Footloose.
This is the Asian Footloose.
Yes. Call Kevin Bacon. He needs to protest.
You no dance! No horn playing music! You go to jail!
I can't imagine that's the biggest problem in Cambodia that needs to be dealt with.
Oh, yes. It's a big problem.
It's a big problem.
We don't like music in horns. We blame Israel.
Everything's the Jewish people's fault. Everything.
The Jews' fault.
You are on an Asian kick.
Yeah. Oh, you want another Asian story?
Yeah. Let's keep it rolling.
All right. It's the Chinese food. It gets to me.
It's all through your body now. You love a good Chinese food.
Oh, I
yes,
love it.
Yes, you do.
This is actually kind of a weird story. It says here a Chinese pastor is released after 7 years in prison, only to find himself unable to get an ID. So here is a guy. It says here, unable to buy a train ticket or even see a doctor at a hospital, a Chinese pastor found that even after his release from prison, he was not really free. His name is Reverend John Sangquang. And he was arrested and sentenced to 7 years in prison while back from a missionary trip. In Myanmar. He was basically spreading Christianity in Chinese.
And that's why he was arrested?
And he was arrested, but he was living in America. He was married to an American wife. And he felt the need to go, help out the Chinese people in a certain province. Go back to China. And his wife didn't want to let him to go. And he said, don't worry, I'd be fine. I'd be fine. It says here, he was born and raised in Changsha, China.
Okay.
He dedicated his life to spreading Christianity in China, where the religion is strictly regulated. He studied in the U.S., married an American woman, and started a family.
He should have just stayed. Yeah.
That's what I would say. But no, he had to go back to China because he needed to spread Christianity. And then, you know what? He got arrested, and he spent 7 years in prison. And
ooh,
now
– in a Chinese prison. Ooh,
that's right.
That can't
and,
be
now,
fun.
And now, apparently in China, they have this thing called a hakao. Hakao. And it's basically your name on a register. And if your name is there, it enables you to get a driver's license. You can go get a national ID. You can go to the hospital. It basically.
So they still control you if you're not on this list.
And so now what they did was when he got released from prison, they took his name off the hakao.
No hakao for you.
That's right. No hakao for you. And now you no exist no more.
You know one. Is could he come back to the U.S.? Like, how does that work?
I don't know. I didn't
Everyone else is coming.
I didn't read that far. It says
across the border.
They said you spread Christianity like sweet and sour sauce on chicken. No good for you. No good for you.
No.
I take your hakao. Hakao. No hakao.
So anyway. This guy is pretty much done. He should have just stayed in prison. At least he was getting meals and, you know, a bed. Yeah. Now he's got nothing.
That's right.
Not even an ID.
Anyway, we can get off the Chinese kick.
Are you done with Chinese?
I think Pakistan is calling in. They're very upset. We're very upset. Tell the Jew to stop talking about Chinese people.
We have to find a Pakistan article.
That's right. Well, actually, here's one close to Pakistan. This is about Al-Qaeda. Would you like to hear about Al-Qaeda?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's always a fun topic.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, because we're dealing with terrorism here in Israel and stuff like that. All over the world, actually. But here at this, I found this actually interesting article here. It says here this. Now, this says the Al-Qaeda plot to kill Bill Clinton that history nearly forgot. So apparently it says here this was an article.
Remember this.
It says Air Force One with President Bill Clinton and First Lady Hillary Clinton aboard was on its final approach to Manila on November 23rd of 1996 when the U.S. Secret Service detail received an alarming intelligence. Basically, Al-Qaeda planted an explosive device in their car and they found out about it. And the agents switched to a backup route to the Clintons' hotel, foiling a suspected Al-Qaeda attempt to assassinate the president of the United States. This was in the 90s. Now, the reason why they're talking about it now is because one of the retired agents wrote a book and talked about it.
And
of course, that's right. And of course, now the assassination attempt, which appears to be one of Al-Qaeda's earliest attempts to strike the U.S., was mentioned briefly in books published in 2010 and 2019. Now, 8 retired Secret Service agents, 7 of whom were in Manila, have given Reuters, this is the article, the most detailed account to the date of the failed plot. Of course, Reuters found no evidence of a U.S. government investigation into the attempt on Clinton's life. So basically, I guess when they tried to speak to the U.S. government, they're like, nope, never happened.
Never happened. Nope. We don't know anything about that.
I just love it that I got in touch with Bill Clinton because I wanted to talk to him about it.
Oh, I hear that he's going to do a guest appearance right now.
I spoke to him. I have him. I asked him about the attempt. He said, I survived the attempt of Al-Qaeda. They tried to blow my car up and kill me. But I'll tell you one thing. There's one person I could not survive, and that was my wife, Hillary.
Exactly. Poor Bill. He would have been better off.
Roya, listen to me. I would have much rather been killed by Al-Qaeda than be married to to Hillary Clinton.
Hillary.
I'll tell you something. Hillary, I love Monica Lewinsky, not you. I survived Al-Qaeda, but not Hillary Clinton.
Not Hillary. Oh. Yeah, Hillary's a tough one.
Anyway, so Al-Qaeda tried to kill,
Bill back in the day.
Yeah.
Billy boy.
Hey, Al-Qaeda, if you're listening, can you make another attempt on Joe Biden?
Ice cream boy. I love the Joe Biden voice.
Yeah, I love ice cream. If Al-Qaeda touches my ice cream, I'm going to be very upset.
Poor Joe. falling up the stairs with his ice cream.
Anyway, speaking of terrorism, so I would just like to say, hey, let's make an announcement here on Lighten Up.
Yeah.
Guess who's coming to the Holy Land?
Drum roll.
Who's coming to the Holy Land?
Me!
That's right. Lighten up, all our Lighten Up listeners. Roy Mohsenian is coming to Israel, ladies and gentlemen. Yay!
Yay!
You're coming to visit me.
I'm coming to Israel, and I'm bringing Mama Miller.
You're bringing my mom. She's going to be like, what? Where are we going? This is a long flight. Do they? Can I order a lobster on this flight?
I got it covered.
You're coming to Israel. You will be here in the month of May. We're very excited. I can't wait. We're going to take you to Jerusalem. Hey, maybe if we're lucky, you can meet our producer.
I know. I want to.
Maybe she'll meet us in Jerusalem.
I was shocked to hear you haven't met her in person. I was like, what?
Yeah, I don't even think she really exists. I think tomorrow is an AI person. She's AI. She's not a real human being.
She's like the Wizard of Oz. She's like Oz behind the curtain.
Don't look behind that curtain. Pay no attention to that curtain over there. I am not
tomorrow. Is that you? No.
So are you nervous to come to the Holy Land?
No, I'm very excited. I'm thrilled. I'm so excited. My first time there, and I'm coming to see my friend Stephen Miller.
It's going to change your life. I think you'll convert to Judaism.
I might.
You know what? Don't tell Iran. They're going to send a fatwa after you.
Yeah, let's not. If they start listening to the show, I'm gonna go dark.
Go dark. You go dark on me for 6 months. What do you care? You leave me, you know, you say, yeah, I'm doing the show, and then I never hear from you.
I can't even defend myself.
Well, I'm glad to tell you that. I'm glad to say that you're not scared, because you know what? I'm sick and tired of people. The American media makes it out like we're like I'm dodging snipers from Hamas when I go to the grocery store.
So,
last weekend, I went to the Isho Rebo concert. Packed place in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, you know, you sent me a video.
Life is normal here. The war is not in Israel. It's in Gaza, and it's just insane. I'm tired of people saying I'm not coming to Israel. It's I'm scared. Oh, I hate, and I also can't say when people like I still get messages. Stay safe. Every time I speak to someone from back home. Just stay safe. I'm like, you know what? Why don't you stay safe?
You
live in America. Your leader's Joe Biden. It's more dangerous in America than Israel.
Yep. Listen, if you live in or around any of the cities that are crime is through the roof in this country, you've got a way better chance of something happening to you. So
I'm
not afraid of coming to Israel at all.
Right. But you won't go to Philadelphia because you can get shot.
No, I won't. No, I'm very cautious with those things. So, I'm so excited. I can't wait
to
visit you, all the experiences, all the beauty, the spirituality, the holiness. I can't wait for all of it. So excited. And you know what? Good. Less tourists. Don't be afraid. Don't come. We don't want you.
Right. Okay. So we won't be able to do a show that week, but Roya Ramosinian, everybody from the Star of Lighting Up, will be walking in the Holy Land. I'll take pictures and we'll post them on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and people can finally see what you look like. They hear that amazing sultry voice of yours, and then they'll see that when they see you, that you actually, because you're Iranian, you actually wear a burqa.
You actually can't see my face at all.
That's
just
right.
My
just your eyes.
You crack me up, but I'll have to document it. I'll do like a little video blog, a little
day one, day two.
Day one, day two.
Yeah. If people don't know, Roya, when she goes on vacation, she posts on Facebook constantly every day, but she doesn't post the picture and say, hey, I'm here at this museum. She'll go day one and then the photo and then day two. And literally your post every day, it's like a 10-day post every day, three, day four, day five. It's
documentation.
Really, I don't know why you do that. It's very bizarre behavior.
I know, I'm bizarre. But when I look back on it, it's so bizarre. But when I look back, I can see where I was, what I did. It's like my own little photo album. Remember when we were growing up and our parents would make photo albums of our trips?
Yes.
Well, that doesn't exist anymore. We used to have like a whole room, like a wall full of photo albums.
That's right. That's right. Yep. All right. I just wanted to make that announcement on Israel News Talk Radio. We're getting back to the news, people, because the Netherlands just called and they said they don't care. They don't care about you. And Iran is a big listener. I know they're not listening today, but so Iran, if you're listening, you know, Ahasuerus's great daughter is going to be in the Holy Land. Anyway, here's a weird story. You're gonna find this because you travel a lot, so you've been to a lot of airports, right?
Yes, I love to travel.
Okay, this is a real life. An Italian man moves out of an Italian and Italy airport after a 9 month stay.
He stayed in the airport?
He lived in the airport. This is the most bizarre story. Ooh. Listen to this. It says an elderly man who had been living in, I guess, Bologna. What is airport? Oh,
Bologna in Italy.
Bologna. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just called it Bologna.
I've actually been there. Not the airport, like Bologna. But I've been there.
Yeah. Right. So an elderly man who had been living in Bologna Airport for 9 months has been given a new home known as Arnaldo. He's 83 years old. He started living in the airport when he was no longer able to afford his rent. It says here the staff
in the airport is very expensive, though.
Well, look, what this is what happened. It said the staff at the Marconi Airport, Italy's seventh largest airport, had become like a family to him, giving him a sleeping bag, coffee, meal. An airport newsstand also granted him a newspaper to read every day. It said
he's got to keep in the know. He's got to keep up with current events.
It said here originally from the Italian Arnaldo. He originally was from the Italian island of Sicily. So he was from the mob. He was a mobster. He was his real name is Don Corleone.
Oh,
they're from Sicily. He's
Sicily. Makes sense.
I'm Arnaldo. Arnaldo, I've got no place to live. I've got no job. I lost my job.
It says Arnaldo is now a resident of some other place, some spaghetti and meatballs town. I can't pronounce it. It says this is what happened to him. Last summer, he found himself unable to pay his rent, surviving only on a pension. Despite the help of the local homeless services, he ended up living at Bologna's airport.
That's so weird.
He was sleeping outside.
And that's got to be a small airport, too.
Well, like he was sleeping outside, too. And then the staff of the airport felt like he said, come on in and sleep inside. And he said, no, I don't want to be a nuisance. And they said, no. He moved to the airport's check-in area. And there he received a very unexpected welcome. And airport staff started providing him with coffee and food. And anyway, long story short, he was living in Bologna Airport for 9 months, babe.
For 9 months, living it up. They probably gave him a shower. He was probably in the American Airlines lounge.
Now, imagine if someone was doing that in the airport in America, in the Philadelphia International Airport. They would rob him.
Yeah, right.
They would beat him and take his wallet and his money and take his clothes and leave him naked.
Throw him out on the street.
Throw him out in the street. And then the cops would throw him in jail. Do you think anyone in America would take a guy who couldn't pay his rent and take him in and let him live in the airport lobby and give him food and let him read that for nine months?
In the baggage check-in.
That's
For some reason, that's funny, too.
Hey, you look homeless. Yeah, come on inside. It's a cold outside. Let me give you some coffee and a spaghetti and a meatball. I'll give you a coffee. I'll give you a sleeping bag. You stay in and a check-in. What is your name? Hey, my name is Arnaldo. Hey, you want a cappuccino, Arnaldo? Hey, it's 9 months. You stay as long as you want. I don't
know. So crazy. Well, it just goes to show how hospitable the Italian people are and how inhospitable Americans are.
That's right. Exactly. So I thought that was a fascinating story.
It is. 9 months. And then what happened? He had to go.
They helped him find a place to live.
Oh, wow. Very kind.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Okay.
Anyway, I thought that was that's kind of a feel-good story, right?
It is. That's a very feel-good story. And then he got back on his feet thanks to these people. They helped him find a place.
Yeah.
Wow, very
try that. I'm going to try that in Israel, the Ben-Gurion airport.
That won't go over very well.
I don't know what they would do. I could just live in Ben-Gurion for 9 months. Because if I don't get a job, I will be homeless in Israel.
Steven's going to be broadcasting live on Lighten Up from Ben-Gurion airport check-in baggage
claim. That's right. I'm going to go through people's luggage.
He's going to have a little hut.
I'm going to go through people's luggage. Anyway, So we can finish up on a story here. I can. I have a. I'll give you two choices here. We can talk about a. This happened in Florida. A 7 foot wide pile of 11 pythons were in a like a snake orgy. We can talk about a snake orgy, or we can talk about that Chick-fil-A is changing their chicken. Which would you like?
We got to talk about that. There's no way they're changing their chicken.
Oh, the yes, baby.
Chicken? No.
It says here.
There will be a revolution.
Listen to this. It says Chick-fil-A announces that it will no longer serve antibiotic-free chicken.
What? Oh, so now they're going to switch to crappy chicken.
Listen to this. It says Chick-fil-A announced that it would be shifting from antibiotic-free chicken starting this spring, citing supply reasons in an upstate shared because Joe Biden is screwing everything up. So yeah. It says here to maintain supply of the high quality chicken you expect from us, Chick-fil-A will shift from a no antibiotics ever to no antibiotics important to human medicine.
Oh, man. So everything's just going down the tubes.
Right. Thanks,
Chick-fil-A.
It's because of Joe Biden. They can't. So basically, they had a policy where all their chickens had no antibiotics, right?
Good, right?
Right. But now
they can't keep up with that.
So now they're going to give you chickens with no antibiotics, except if the chicken had an antibiotic that was injected into the chicken to be able to find out to see if it could help a human disease.
Ew. Ew.
Awesome?
my whole perspective of Chick-fil-A.
It says
the
here,
beloved chicken sandwich is no longer to me. That chicken sandwich is now dead to me.
It says here, Chick-fil-A website, NAE means no antibiotics of any kind were used in the raising of animals, while NAIHM restricts use of antibiotics that are important to human medicine and commonly used to treat people, and allows use of animal antibiotics only if the animal and those around it were to become sick. So basically now you're going to eat my kids love Chick-fil-A, and now they're going to eat Chick-fil-A that have been injected by antibiotics that are good to heal sick humans.
Gross. It just is so unsavory. I'd rather not know, you know? It just ruined it.
Oh. So that's the best way to end the show on Chick-fil-A that's getting injected with human disease.
Yuck.
Hi-yo!
Well, you know what? I'm coming to Israel where the food is going to be delicious. That's one of my things I'm really looking forward to. So, no chicken with hormones for me.
Nope. You'll have great Mediterranean food. Mm. It'll be delicious.
Wait.
And it'll bring back memories of you when you were in Iran trying to kill us. And now you're going to be with us.
My many years in Iran when I was living there.
Anyway, Roya, we got 15 seconds left. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Shavua Tov. Happy Purim. Roya, I can't wait to see you in the Holy Land. I love you.
I love you. I'm so excited.